127 of the Circle Back Podcast, the show where three great friends get together and talk about video games. My name is Daniel David Dufresnoy. It's nice to meet you all, for those that haven't listened to the show before, and for old friends, good to see you and hear from you again. Joined by me, as always, is Daniel LaMarca.
Hello.
Daniel Jeffrey LaMarca.
Come on.
Oh, Joseph.
Yeah.
Sorry, Daniel Joseph LaMarca. How you doing, buddy?
Paisan.
And Shelby,
you got no shot, I'm guessing.
Yeah, good luck
not
with Shelby.
Not
really?
A shot.
Oh, because he doesn't have a middle name.
Oh, he does.
No, I have.
He does.
You just have
You'll
no
never
shot.
Guess it.
Shelby,
I didn't know you were 3D though.
Triple D.
For somebody who likes 2D games so much.
Triple D.
3D,
baby.
Huh?
That's what I'm saying.
Triple D. All right.
Breaking the mold.
Breaking the mold.
So what's Shelby?
Vernon. You never would have guessed.
Oh,
it.
I was gonna say Derek.
Not a shot. Derek.
Derek.
Welcome to the show, Shelby. So good to have you here. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Fantastic.
August has been a very eventful month for all of us personally.
Exciting month.
But as far as video games, not so much.
Well, but we didn't play that much.
We do got some stuff to talk about.
I liked a few things.
All right, well, let's talk about it. Gentlemen, let's get right into what we've been playing. Let's start with Two Point Campus.
Yeah, so I'm going to go out on a limb and say that only I played Two Point Campus here.
I think so.
This game is...
There's like the kind of the sim one,
yes,
right? They have a few of
it's
these.
It's made by the same people that did Two Point Hospital.
Right. All right. I know what you're talking about. It's, Game Pass, I think it went to,
it's
right?
On Game Pass.
Okay.
And the thing about these games, I played Two Point Hospital. Every time I play one of these games, I'm like, man, they're super well made. They're really great. I can play it for one session and then never look at it again and be good. It's like a... I would describe it as similar to like a tycoon game, like a roller coaster tycoon or a zoo tycoon, but you're building up a university. So in each of these colleges, you have like goals that you're trying to meet. And the way that you meet them is by you get that top-down view like a tycoon game, and you are trying to make the campus prettier and add new classrooms and hire teachers, and you have a budget to balance, and everything. You can like upgrade the classroom to, you like add different decor and items, like in the science lab is like the first classroom that they give you. It's like, all right, if you put this machine in the corner and then this, now it's like a B ranked classroom. And if you go up, the more students will come, like the better the room is, the better the school is. But what you're also doing is like putting sleeping quarters for the students and putting in like a rec room and putting in a staff lounge and putting in a student lounge and doing all that stuff. It's super, like I said, very, very well made. It's not the type of game that's like gonna jump out, excite me. Like I want to get back into it. Like all these systems are crazy. It's just like a really, really good one of those. And I mean, especially when I was a kid, I loved like Roller Coaster Tycoon, Zoo Tycoon.
Yeah,
like,
it was a lot of fun.
Like they're cool games and they're like addicting if you get into it.
Yeah.
But it didn't grab me in the way. I mean, I didn't really expect it to grab me, but it didn't grab me and hold my attention. So I don't have much to say. The other games I played, I definitely do have a lot to say. But for a two-point campus, I think it's good. I think if this sounds like something you would want to play, then it definitely is. Like, it is as advertised.
2 points out of five, I would say.
The thing I'll say about it, the thing about these games is, like, they have, like, really dumb humor. Like, in kind of a fun way, but a little bit, like, overly silly. Like, in the hospital one, you were always, like... You know, like, oh, this guy's got a funny bone fracture or something, and you bring him in and you have to make him laugh or something. You know what I mean? Instead of, like, actually fixing it. There's a little bit, it's a little bit like A to B in this, but they do a lot of silly stuff, and the names of everything is puns, like, shit like that. It's well written. It's fun. That's Two Point Hospital.
That's
or campus.
Two Point Hospital.
Two Point Campus.
Two Point Campus. All right, so the next one I want to jump in is one that I still haven't played yet, and I was going to, and I really, really want to, and I'm curious because I remember I was watching you play it last time. We've talked about it last time on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious how far you are. Cult of the Lamb. Unless, Shelby, have you played any of this?
Oh, Shelby has played.
I definitely have played. I don't remember. I don't
you
think I was on it last
time,
right? Yeah, so I've definitely played
Oh, my
as
goodness.
Well, yes.
Well, then forgive me for just staring at Dan.
Yeah, no, that's all right. I'm not as far as I would like to be because I did. Like, I've been doing a lot of the as you spoke about it last time, like you have your dungeon crawling aspect to it. You have your simulator.
It's like a town.
Yeah, a town simulator sort of thing. You know, you're running a cult. So I spend a lot of time in there, which doesn't really progress the dungeon crawling aspect of it. But my God, there's so many levels to this game in what you can do. And even now, like every time you unlock something, it really feels like you're rediscovering a new thing in how you can play the game. And it's a lot of fun. I haven't experienced everything yet that I can do. Like I have the options to sacrifice people. I haven't done it yet. Mm-hmm. I haven't had a dissenter yet, you know, like, cause I've kind of been, I spent a lot of time in the town simulator, so I haven't had anybody get pissed at me yet, you know? So it's pretty cool. But every time, like I've died twice while doing runs. And if you die, like everybody hates you and they're like, oh, you know, like they're like, this guy fucking sucks. Less. Yeah. But it's a lot of fun and I have to keep buying graves because I spend a lot of time there. So my people get old. They keep dying and they just drop dead in the middle of your town and you have to pick them up. And
how did you feel about how they like give you like roll out these different layers? Like, did you feel like it was overwhelming or did you feel like...
I didn't at first because I at first with the town stuff, I didn't spend a lot of time there. Like I would go on a run, come back, and then I was like, all right, I spend time on the run where they don't really teach you anything. So it was a nice little break from learning stuff. And then I would come back and I'd learn a few things and do it, implement them, and then go back on a run. So it felt, the pace didn't feel pushed to me at first. Why? Did you feel overwhelmed at first?
I feel like it's so much stuff, but I never felt overwhelmed with it.
Right.
But it's, when you look at it.
It is a lot of stuff.
It's like a lot of stuff, but the way they kind of dole it out, I was like pretty impressed with how not overwhelming it is, even though it seems like it should be.
Right. Yeah. I guess if you just sat there and did it all, you would be.
Yeah.
Because you can. There really are ways for you to just sit in the town and not go on runs and still progress the game slowly. But
they do. Here's something. Since I played a lot of this game, I played like 20 hours of this game, and there's something they do that's really smart. Because I will say flat out, I think, as a town builder and a, like, you know, citizen happiness, you know, keeping everyone happy, I think it is really, really good. Yeah. Really good. And I spent a lot of time in there, but you would think you come across, all right, like you said, my townspeople are getting old, dying. Now I'm running out of people. Now I need to go out and do a run and get... But what they do is they give you, like, quests sometimes where someone will come up to you, one of your townsfolk will come up and be like, hey, there are these three people that are really hungry. Do you think we can bring them all into the cult and feed them or whatever? And then there are three new followers to get. So, like, I think they do a smart job of being like, hey, do what you want mostly. Like, you, in order to progress the game, you need to go out on runs, but they allow you to stay in that mode of just building up the town for a lot of the game. Like, they just let you do it as much as you want.
Yeah, and it's that's what I said. It's like, some right now I spend a lot of time in the town because I feel like every time I finish doing what I want to do, it's just a new day.
Right.
So I'm like, well, shit, all right, so I got to start the sermons over
it's
again.
It's such a good hook, though.
It is. Isn't it? It gets you, man. It gets you. So, like, sometimes I sit there and I'm like, all right, like, fuck these guys for a minute because I need to go on a run, you know? I want to get new stuff, and or I'm running low. Like, I'll just keep building, run out of wood, and I'm like, all right, and now I have to go on a run, you know? So, but no, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. I unlocked a couple of areas. Mm-hmm. You could play, like, a card game with some guy fishing down whatever. There's a whole nother cult inside of a lighthouse. there's a lot of cool stuff in here, and it keeps surprising me in little ways where I'm just like, oh, this area is pretty cool. You know, like the weapons are whatever. Again, the running, I don't think is its strong suit, but it's not bad. You know, like it's...
So here's my thing. As I play this, I did not beat it, but I think I'm done with it.
Ooh.
But I literally have each area you go through, and every time you complete a run, you beat a boss, there's like four of those you need to do.
Yeah.
So you do it once, a little meter fills a quarter of the way. You do it a second time, it fills up to half. And it's a different boss at the end of each run in the area. And then you fight the main boss of that area. So I literally have one boss in the final area. And then what I assume, I don't know if it's a full final area or if it's just the boss.
Right.
But that's all I have left.
Okay.
And the problem that I'm running into is I really am tired of doing the combat. Yeah. I really am. And it's not bad. It's just not, there's nothing special about it.
No.
You know, like yeah, there's nothing like, interesting about it. There's nothing like the way you think of a game like Hades as having like, wow, there are so many different ways to play. Like these abilities make me feel like I'm trying something different.
Right. I feel like the weapons, they give you different weapons and they all have different attributes, but they're not really like, it's, you're still just slashing.
It's
like,
inconsequential. That's all you're really doing. It's inconsequential. And the only thing they have is super heavy weapon, medium weapon, right. light dagger.
Right.
That's the only difference.
Whereas and then, Hades had that plethora right. of stuff. And even Rogue Legacy 2 has yes. like different.
Yeah. So that's a game that feels like different.
Yeah, exactly.
Every run you're like, oh, this is totally different. Right. The mechanics are different. That's how you stay engaged in something. Right. And I'm not getting that at all right. from this. And even with the town building, and I'm sounding a lot more negative on this game than I am. This is a very, very good game. Yeah. And it's in my top 10 of the year. But the town building and those little side areas that you said, nothing is as deep as you would want it to be, in my opinion. Like, it's like this game is like, it's like, it seems like it's an ocean of all this different stuff, but it's like as deep as a puddle. Like, there's nothing to it. Every aspect of it, it's...
Take it at surface value. It
looks like
right.
more than what it is.
Yeah.
And like with all the villagers and everything, there's like only a few traits. Like there's nothing like super interesting or weird where like someone could get like a serial killer trait. You know, I'm making this up. Like this would be a cool thing where it's like, and then they're taking people out in the night and you're like, what the hell is going on? Like there's no like, whoa moments in the permutations. Like the system they have is great. But they did not go deeper. And maybe that's not what they want to do with this game, but that would have made it a more interesting game
right.
that I would like be in love with. That's like what it's missing for me is it's all kind of shallow.
Yeah. No, I definitely can see that exactly.
I compared it to Card Shark last time, and it's so different in the way that it makes me a little bit disappointed. Like Card Shark is... so deep in its mechanics, like too much sometimes when you get to a certain point, you're like, I can't keep up with all these different card tricks. I got to do all this crazy shit. This game is like, I'm just going through the motions at the end. And that's unfortunate because I really, really enjoy this game. But yeah, for me, Cult of the Lamb is like, it could have been a game where I'm putting it up there with like my top five. And right now, it's like instead, it's right at the back end of my 10.
There is a ending to it, right? There is a story mode you get to. But
in the runs, I'm telling you, I have one run in the final area, and then I assume one final boss run. And I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm good.
And the bosses aren't tough. They don't like, there's nothing crazy
nothing
about them.
Nothing in
they
the
have,
game is tough.
No, there's nothing about nothing, it is tough. It's just, I don't know.
But that's why I'm saying it's missing that like hook of like really engaging you. And again, maybe it just wants to be a game that's played by more people and it doesn't want to go into that depth. And that's totally fine. But that means that it's going to be on the outside looking in for some of my favorite games where it could be like where it has the bones there to be like one of my favorites. Because as far as writing and personality and style, like it's off the chart. Like it's incredible.
Yeah, no,
it's
it is.
It's so cool. And the way that they do the way they unlock the tree for the different like rituals and stuff, it's got so much personality and it works the whole way through. Even the little dialogue when you meet these bosses throughout your runs, it's very well written, it's super interesting. Music is awesome. Like there's everything going for it, but playing the game it's missing that hook to X really factor. Say like, oh man, I wish it had a little bit more to it, you know?
Yeah. Well, who created this game?
Who did?
Who did it? Like who's the developer?
I would have to look. I don't know. It was their first game, I believe, but it was published by Devolver.
Right. No, it's a great, well, that's awesome.
You're enjoying it.
If it is a first,
I think it is.
Game.
Massive Monster.
Massive Monster, if you're listening, and we know that you are. Sequel, please.
Sequel, absolutely. I really think, but I don't want. I'm coming across
Cult of the Ram. What do you guys think?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Beautiful. I named my cult Cult of the Goat.
Cult of the Goat. Nice.
Don't know why. Nice. Don't
love know it.
Why. I just was like, you know,
you're very subversive.
A little twist on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Dan likes subversive.
Yeah.
Creativity.
But I'm sounding very negative. I was super positive on the last episode. The truth is in the middle. I like this game a lot. Yeah. It's very good. But now that I'm at that point of putting all that time in, now I can give my little quibbles
and look back on it.
Yeah. I don't want to sound overly negative.
Yeah. No, I plan to keep playing. I've only beaten two of the four main bosses so far. And like I said, I just get stuck. Every time I play it, I go for a run or two, and then I get stuck in the town just having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I still definitely recommend you check it out.
Yeah, man. Definitely.
It's very, very good.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to do what Dan did. I'm going to go like 20 hours in and then just go, I'm good.
Because it literally is like, I don't want to do, like, this run is going to take time. I'm not going to enjoy it.
Right. It's like 10 minutes on the run, but even like per run.
Yeah. And they get a little bit longer as you go on, but then you're sitting there and you're like, I think what happened was I died to the boss like two runs in a row. I was like, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah.
Like, I can go play other stuff.
But you can also see, like, your town's hunger level and faith level and all that while you're doing the run. So you could be, like, going on a run and
I gotta
like,
go back.
Oh, fuck, I really gotta go back. You
know? One of my first upgrades.
And you have those options later on. They're like, you could just pull yourself out of a run if you want to.
When you beat an area boss, you get to choose, like, one of four different, like, upgrades. And the first one I picked was you can abandon a run midway through. Because I'm like, what if my people need me?
Yeah. Well, not only that, I found myself going back to the first area, which I already beat, because that's the only, at least within the first two areas, that's the only one you can get wood or lumber at.
Yeah.
Was the first area. So when I ran out of lumber in the town, like, you can even build, like, a lumber yard, but, or sawmill, I don't know what it's called. But then it breaks down, and you have to build another one, and you need lumber to build another one. Yep. So I was like, I found myself going back to the first area, which that to me sucked, because I don't want to have to go back to it.
You should not.
When the runs are not the most fun part of the game, I don't want to go back.
You don't want to feel forced to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I'd rather every run mean something.
I will say, once you play the game a lot, I think after I beat the second or third, like, I just had so many resources. I was never left wanting.
Okay.
I always had a mill going. It would break. I'd start a new one right away. No problem. I'd always have 500 coin. Like, I'm never like
starving for.
But these are the things where it's like, you got to keep that throughout. Yeah. You know, like that's the hook.
Well, that was the thing. Once I got stuck, like, just wanting to be in the town, that's where my resources ran low. And I was like, oh, because I ran through the first area very quickly, you know, and then got to the second area and then spent more time not running. And then. But yeah, again, we sound like we're ending on a negative note. I'm definitely not. I know you're not.
Yeah, it's a very good game.
I think you guys are ready to run your own cult. Like, I mean, I feel like you have 100%. Enough time in this game.
I learned some new techniques. I'll tell you that.
Manipulation.
Well, that is Cult of the Lamb.
Cult of the Lamb.
I still want to play it, though, for sure.
You should. It's great.
It's only on Switch?
Nope.
I think it's all over.
It's on everything, but... Yeah, I'm trying to remember. No, it's not on Game Pass.
It's on PS... PlayStation. Yeah. It's on PlayStation. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, gents, I'm good.
That I know. I'm sure good it's game. On game. I'm sure it's on Xbox.
I think it is
well.
On everything. Yeah.
Glad you guys are enjoying.
Yeah.
All right. For the penultimate game of this month, Tinykin. Who's playing Tinykin?
I'm playing Tinykin.
Dan's playing Tinykin.
And I'm about to pitch you guys on Tinykin.
Pitch me on Tinykin.
This game fucking rules. Shelby,
is this a power washing simulator?
Shelby specifically, and I know Dan will like it too. You guys got to play
Shelby
this
specifically.
Shelby loves like 3D platformers, and this is a really, really good 3D platformer. But the hook is, it's also a Pikmin game, so it's like a Pikmin 3D platformer.
That's pretty cool.
And it's fucking awesome. It's a collectathon. It reminds me of like the days of the Ratchet and Clank, Jak and Daxter. But it plays so well. I'll give you the pitch on the game. So basically I think the opening, I'll also say the story is very inconsequential so far. But I think it's like you're a traveler through space and your ship crash lands. And you're on this planet where you're...
So exactly like Pikmin?
Yeah. But you're on this planet where you're tiny and you're basically inside of a person's house, but you're the size of an ant.
Okay.
And you're exploring, each level is a different room of the house. And it's fucking, it's just like beautifully designed to make it so wondrous to like explore these areas. And you're collecting, each level has a new type of tinykin in it. Like the first level, you just have regular tinykin that like move stuff for you. So you'll, you know, you'll see something glowing pink. You'll throw your pink tinykin at it. It'll say like one out of 14 you need. So you throw all 14 at it. Then they'll pick it up and start walking it over, like just like Pikmin.
It looks cool, yeah.
And the thing about it is, like any good collectathon, it has like four or five objectives, one main objective. And like one of them is collect every piece of pollen in the room, which is like the coins, okay. Right? So it's like, oh, there's 1,100 pollen. You know, they're in groups of five, ones, and like big groups of 50. And as you're just exploring this room, you may like throw, in the second level, there are these like bomb tinykin that actually explode when you throw them. You'll have these things that are like, it's like candles and they're all covered at the top. And you throw one bomb one at it and it exposes the candle. Now the candle's lit. If you do all the candles in the temple, it doesn't tell you to do this, but if you do them all in the temple, it'll like show a little cinematic of at the top of the temple. There's like a new 50 group of pollen for you to get. And it's all these little tiny objectives. And it's just so good, man. Yeah. Like, it feels good to play. It's, like, awesome. Just collect-a-thon. I really, really love this. Like, I think it's a really good game. And the more I play of it, the more I like it. The new different types of tinykin I'm getting as I'm exploring through. I've beaten three levels. It looks like there are maybe five.
Yeah, all right.
It doesn't seem like a playing? Super long game. It's on Game Pass.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm playing on Game Pass on Xbox. I just really like it. Like, I really do. And there will be, like, it has, like, funny little humor. You know what reminds me of the humor is, like, in Paper Mario Origami King.
Oh, yeah. That good?
The toads. But the toad dialogue is, like, what the people in the world are like. Like, okay. You'll just, like, walk up to somebody and hit A, and they'll have, like, something weird to say. And then you'll walk away. Like, it's not like this, it's not throwing anything in your face, like, story-wise. It's just, like, just have fun. There's the one overarching objective is, like, oh, I forget what they call him, like the Great One or whatever. It's the guy who lives in the house. and it's like the Great One, you know, left a schematic for this thing. It's the only hope of repairing your ship. And it's like you need to get a funnel and ski goggles and like all this. So that's like the object of each level is to get like this one big item, which is one of the five things from the schematic.
Gotcha.
It's charming as hell. I really like the little bits of dialogue. I think the music is awesome. The look of it's really cool. It actually, I mentioned Paper Mario, but that's kind of how they look. They're like flat 2D, like you're looking at like a cardboard cutout kind of, because when they turn, it just like reverses.
Flips around, but it's in
a 3D space.
Yeah,
they're not like full 3D models.
Okay.
And it's in it, like the whole environment's a 3D space. Like everything's modeled 3D. It's just all the characters are like little cardboard cutouts.
Cool.
It's super good. And it'll have things where it's like, oh, you walk into this area and you'll see, here's these guys that love fossils. So you need to get four different pieces to create. They're talking about this like super megasaurus, and then you get all the pieces of the fossil and it's like a frog skeleton. Like, oh, it's not that exciting now that it's put together, you know, like little shit like that.
I like that.
There's that kind of thing. There's one that was like, oh, there's a monster in the cupboard, like don't go in there. But and then the other person was like, well, we could sell a photo of that. Take this camera and bring it in there. So you have to get enough of the tinykin, throw them at the camera, they walk it over, you open the cupboard and it's like a stuffed animal in the corner. And you bring it back and they're like, the guy's like, what is this? Isn't it a monster? It's like, well, it's much scarier in the dark. Like, it's goofy, it's fun. Like, I really like
tinykin.
I'm charmed by it. I enjoy playing it. The main like platforming mechanic, you have a jump, you have like a throw your tinykin, and then you have like a hold jump. You have like a bubble around you, almost like Sable-like,
right?
where you can travel super far with it, but the main thing is as you collect all the pollen in the area, basically the pollen thing is it's two tiers. So it may say like, all right, collect 700 pollen, bring them back to this guy. It'll give you an extra bubble, so it'll last twice as long.
Gotcha.
And then once you get the 700 and give it to him, a new meter will pop up and it'll say 1100. That's every single piece in the level.
Gotcha.
So the only thing that you're doing with that is bringing it back to like your home base after, and once you do a certain amount, you get an extra upgrade. But that's like optional. I love collectathons where it's like, if you get, you don't have to get every single piece. If you get the 700 out of the 1100, you get the reward.
Right.
And then collecting it all is just an extra little bonus reward or whatever. But it's super, super fun. I honestly, I think you guys would love it. I think it would definitely hit you in the spot. I'm definitely downloading it. I gotta play more. I want to get it. You know, it's like, it's got that fun hook. And it's been super nice just to be like, you know, just put the baby to bed. I have an hour and a half to myself. Let me play through a level. Breezy, fun, nothing super challenging.
Right.
It's awesome. I really, really like Tinykin.
I'm on it. I got two good games.
I recommend this one for sure.
I'm in. I need something. I've been playing so much Madden. Madden and everybody's golf has been like my bag lately. So
nice.
Yeah.
Oh, I love everybody's golf.
Oh, it's so good. I get so, and then an hour goes by. And I'm like, fuck! I just played like six rounds of golf. really.
Well, gentlemen, the time has come. This is a game that is divisive.
Yeah.
As anything.
That's true. Even in this room, in this very room.
I gotta say, I think we all have three different opinions on this game, and usually there's only two sides of a
coin.
We have three different opinions on this game.
Well, we'll find out now, soon enough.
We'll find out.
What's the name of the game?
The name of the game is Immortality.
Immortality.
Immortality. We have all played it. I have.
We're playing the wrong game.
Name the game Thumper.
I have finished it. Dan, you finished it?
I finished it.
Shelby.
I have not rolled credits, no. But I've also heard that there's multiple. I don't know. But, all right. So,
right. Let's start it off. We're going to talk non-spoilers.
And then
we'll very clearly announce that we're going to talk spoilers, and we're going to get into it. This is the new game by Sam Barlow. Anybody that's played Her Story or Telling Lies, Sam Barlow, now it's a studio called Half Mermaid. Bigger group of people, bigger scope, but the game type is very similar. This is the type of game he makes, and it is full motion video footage, so real video footage. And in one way or another, whether it's Her Story, Telling Lies, or this, you are scrubbing through different video clips and searching for something in order to see another video clip. So all you're doing is going clip to clip to clip and piecing the story together yourself. Mm. That is how all of his games have been, all three of them. This one's a little bit different. In Her Story, you would type in like keyword searches that would be the dialogue. So you would type in like sister, and it would show you five clips because it was like a max of five with the words where the main character said the word sister in it. In, I don't remember Telling Lies. I think it was also... Was it keywords?
I think it was the same way.
Yeah, I think it was. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But in this one, what's really strange and cool, and I have no idea how they do it, is it's a image like
you click search. On like,
yeah.
like a candle, and then it'll show you every scene that has a
candle. It'll jump to one random scene that has a candle in it.
Right.
In these three films. The whole pitch of the game is there's this actress, Marissa Marcel, who made three movies and was never, none of the three movies were released, and she kind of like lives in obscurity. Nobody knows what's going on with her. And you have access to the three movies and anything that happened on site.
Right.
Anything
recorded.
But it could be a behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It could be a
table read.
Just
random personal footage, you know, like
this. Yep. And it happened to happen in one of the locations, then we have access to it.
Right.
That's how it works. The whole pitch for the advertising in this game was what happened to Marissa Marcel? Mm-hmm. That's the whole thing. She's this famous actress, never released a film, but made three, and none of them came out for different reasons. And that's kind of what the game is. I don't think there's much more as far as, like, you are piecing together what happened. You're piecing together these movies, and it's that famous thing when her story came out. There was this famous quote that was like a person on a message board being like, "How do I know when I finish the game?" And Sam Barlow said, "You finish the game when you're satisfied." And the person said, "How will I know when I'm satisfied?"
Well, it's true though.
To me, that is one of the funniest quotes I've ever seen, and I think it really works here. There is a credits sequence that you can. I don't know exactly how it works, and we'll talk when we talk spoilers a little bit. But that's the game, right?
Right.
So let's just say before
From the outside looking in, that's
the game,
yeah. Right? You piece it together, you figure out, you click on certain people, and you'll show them in other scenes. You figure out who the people are, and what happens.
Yep. Exactly. So without spoilers, what do we all think of the game? I want to hear what Dan thinks of the game first.
I am so conflicted because on one side, so this is where I agree with you, Dan. It's where I agree with Shelby.
How do you know
on
where
the
I
other
stand?
Hand.
How do you know where
I
stand?
Yeah, likewise.
I know. We text all the time. Anyway, the negatives, it's a very grueling experience. It's hard to recommend this game to people, even me, myself, who is into this sort of game. Found myself, and I really loved her story especially. I had an easier time with her story. This game was very, very grueling for me.
Are you speaking mechanically grueling?
Mechanically grueling.
Okay.
Like the mechanic of going through each scene, going back.
Okay.
I don't want to get into spoilers because there are some very, very cool things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, mechanically, it was a grueling. I keep using that word, but it was. Yeah, there was times where I wasn't necessarily having fun.
Mm.
There was a lot of moments, you know, where the payoff was incredible and it was like, okay, it was totally worth it. But there was a lot of moments where it wasn't. So it wasn't a cohesive experience in that respect for me, as far as, oh my gosh, I can't wait to just keep playing. I want to watch the next scene. Oh, I can't wait. Once I pieced it all together and I said, oh wow, that's where I shifted to Dan's perspective, where I was like, oh my gosh, this was amazing, super subversive. Wow, all these pieces and all these layers I found absolutely fantastic. But at the end, I'm sitting here conflicted on it, where I'm like, did I actually enjoy playing that? Or did I enjoy playing that?
Fair.
That's my... Fair.
So if you took it, here's what I'll say, again, no spoilers. As a story, did you enjoy it?
Yes, and I think, well, again, spoilers,
yes.
But I think it's even more than a story where it...
Yeah. Aside from mechanics, like if you put mechanics aside and you say the game content that's there. So like if we're talking about like Kentucky Route Zero, right?
Mm-hmm.
The mechanics of pointing and clicking and going around, you know, they're not frustrating, but maybe they're not that interesting.
Fair.
But as a story...
Oh, right.
So do you this game as a story?
As a story, yes.
Yeah.
As a piece of subversion, yes. Mm-hmm. Holy moly, as a piece
but
of...
But actually going through
I feel through actually
it.
Sick and freaked out after playing it.
Yeah. But as a mechanic, you know, the game mechanics, you didn't enjoy.
Not a fan.
Okay. Shelb, what are your thoughts?
So similar to what you're saying, mechanically, I'm just like... It is what it is. I've never played Her Story. I've never played Talon Lies. Mm-hmm. It's got one mechanic, two mechanics to it, basically. There's not much to it there. So the same thing. Am I having fun doing this? I don't think that was his intention. That shouldn't be the fun part, I think. I think the constantly learning, almost like Memento, where you're figuring, piecing things out, is the intention of the story. My issue that now... much further in than when I was, I guess I originally texted you guys and stuff. It's not, I have no problem with the story. I think it's actually the way he did this is very well thought out. I think the narrative is a very cool what you make of it in whatever order and how you, I think the interpretation is so wide open that it makes everybody's experience a little different.
Definitely.
On a personal level, I just didn't interest me. I found it very uninteresting. That was the only thing I had an issue with.
So the content of what you're watching, you weren't
just
into.
So uninterested. Even all the extra stuff and stuff that you discover without spoiling anything. It's I just found it uninteresting. And that was just on a
personal level. Like it as like a construct, like you like the idea of it.
I do. I think what he's doing and how it's like, wow, to put these three movies together in this way, like and the back and forth, and it's whatever. I mean, I think I spent the first hour of the game, or probably more than that. Just you could just click on people's faces the whole time and get a different clip every time, you know. And it's like, but I also think that's just randomized. Like I think if I started my game and clicked on the same candle you did, I think you'd get a different one. So I don't, that's, you can't knock it for that. That's just whatever. There's so many clips, like hundreds.
There are.
To where
200 and something.
Are there that many? Yeah. I didn't even think of. So I know there's tons of clips. So my assumption was that happens for anybody.
Yeah.
And again, I don't, this game's not like on rise for its mechanics. It's one thing, and it seems like that's what he's always done. So,
but you felt the story itself and the content that you weren't into.
I just wasn't into it. That's the only negative thing, and that's a personal thing. I don't think the game is what the game was trying to do. I think it nailed. I think it's absolutely nailing what it's trying to do, and it has that bit of mystery. But I don't know. Maybe what I want to say, I think I'll wait a little bit to say.
We'll
talk,
we'll talk about it in the spoilers. Before we get to that, I'll say what I think of it, but I also want to start by saying what we didn't say about the mechanics is not only can you click on things as these play, you can rewind.
Right.
And you can fast forward, and you can click the stick to auto rewind all the way to the beginning of the clip, and click the stick to auto rewind all the way to the end of the clip. And then you can...
You hit Y to, like, image search or
something. Y will, like, pause it.
Which one's the top button?
Y. Y will, like, pause it, and then you can move the cursor to the image you want to hit on, and then hit A, and then it'll bring you to where you... To another clip with that image. When you're rewinding and fast-forwarding, you can change the speeds by tilting the stick in different directions, or if you're using the trigger, depending on how hard you press the trigger, it will slow it down or speed it up.
I think if you like tap the trigger too, it'll go like rewind one, rewind two, rewind three, thing. Like if you just
and
give
on
a quick
the D-pad, you can like frame by frame.
Yeah.
So just mechanically, that's I wanted to throw that out there. I'll say what I think, and then there are a couple other things before we get into spoilers that I do want to talk about. But to me, I think it's brilliant. I think for me, I never ever was frustrated by the mechanics. I was along for the ride. I was just click whatever it was. I was just happy to see a new clip. Like I did not care. I wasn't like aiming for certain things. I was just like, what can I find that would show me a new clip?
Yeah.
That's what I was doing. And the few times where I was like seeing the same things, then it was like I was a detective, and I was like, okay. So I'm seeing this clip when I hit this. I'm seeing when I, like, I never, ever was frustrated by it. And I know that's a unique thing. I know some people were in exactly what Dan's saying. I heard a lot of people saying the same thing, where it's like, this is super annoying. I'm trying to just get to the end. I want to see the story. And it's not easy to do that.
Right.
I adore the story. I love everything about it. I love these characters. I love the movies that are in them, I think are so interesting. I think as like a fan of movies in general, I love that these are like three different eras of movie. Like that first movie is like a 50s and 60s like epic where it literally they did such an amazing job of filming these fake movies to embody what the type of movie it is.
Right.
I think that is so well done.
And it needed to be, because you can't, you didn't want to open up a clip and be like, oh, which one is this? You know, like they're all so different, so obvious. Yeah. So and even that, the main character's hairstyle was so drastically between short brunette and then long blonde.
Long blonde,
that's intentional and
very
smart
much intentional.
And,
but everything, the graininess of the footage changes, the type the type of camera in the late 90s movie, that type of camera.
Yeah.
You know exactly
you
movies that are just like
it. Came out,
like to me.
And they even
that
threw
is,
in green screen like mocap stuff just to make you feel like you were in.
But that stuff to me, like as a story, I think it's incredible. And then you take all of this, and it's like a triumph to me. Like, I look at this as like a this like amazing work where I'm like, this is the amount of love and detail put into this, and it just worked on me the whole time. Like, I was in on everything. Even Ambrosio is a terrible movie, and I loved watching it and, like, looking at, because, and we'll talk more in spoilers, but a big theme of this game is, like, about how people are treated in different times. And to even see, like, maybe we should save it, but to see, like,
I know, right?
Could you see the clips of the movie and you're like, oh God, like, movies like this are just so, like, gratuitous and blah, blah, whatever. And then you see the behind the scenes of Marissa being, like, into it and, like, wanting to push the boundaries of that. It's so good. Like, I love, 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 love this fucking game. Like, I think it is so cool. There are so many layers to it, and I just love, like, peeling apart the layers and, like, getting into it. So I think before we get to spoilers, because that's really where we're going to dig into it more, what did you guys think of the acting overall?
I thought the acting was fine. I mean, there was... there were parts where you're like, you, like you said, you're almost looking at it and you're like, you know, like, but to think about the amount of dialogue necessary for creating these, like, totally made up things.
You have three full movies
and the behind the scenes. So it's like, that's why I said, I think the narrative and what Sam Barlow was going for, like, he nailed it. He absolutely nailed it.
Yeah.
But like you said, that way.
When we're talking about this on, like, a high level, I think there's, to me, in my opinion, I think there's no doubt that it's, like, impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
It's just, does it work for you? Does it not work for you?
And I think, and on your point on the writing and everything, or the acting, it is cool to see from Ambrosio, they make Marissa feel like a more seasoned person, because as soon as the scene calls cut in the, in Two of Everything, is that the third one?
Yeah.
As soon as the scene calls cut, the actors are immediately, like, they're more playful with each other than they were in Ambrosio, where it's just like this.
I think that's
because the director on the third one was a different person, you know, like, compared to the previous two.
Right.
And, yeah.
So. And that's where the acting, so, like, I know people could say, oh, this acting is pretty schmaltzy, but I think the acting reflected where they were.
Where they were.
I, we'll get into spoilers
which
and stuff.
I'm hoping was intentional. I'm assuming.
But I think it was. Right. Like, when, like, Marissa, you know, she's on her first interview or whatever, and you know, she's all, you know, cutesy and, oh, yeah, I'm trying my best. You know, like, and it's like, oh, my goodness. But it it does. It seems like, well, this is how someone in that, age, in that, you know, would act, or then your first movie, or then you're much older and you're a seasoned veteran. This is how you would act. So I think the acting, even though at times maybe it felt, you know, well, this person's not the same person as that person.
Well,
they
it's the same reason everybody has their favorite B movies that you go rewatch.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Like, I mean, let's be real.
So I thought the acting was great. I think it reflected what they were trying to say.
Yeah. I don't think there was a single performance that stood out as, like, bad acting. Like, no, I think everyone was just good.
Yeah. Every,
and then
everybody was
really
fine.
The thing that impressed me the most is with these main people that we see so much, to watch somebody, so they're acting, like, Two of Everything is a good example, right? So, the layers of acting here. So you're a person, right? So you're acting as this person, Marissa Marcel.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're acting in the movie as
Maria.
This person, Maria. Right. And then you're acting as Maria, but it's actually Heather. Like, you have, like, so four layers of acting there. And my favorite parts is, like you said, when they call a cut, and now it's the person.
Yeah,
and they're just
being
themselves
again. Yeah,
or you see, like, I just they do. I mean, their love for cinema is, like, amazing.
Oh, and you
and to see, like, the blending of your, you know, when someone's losing themselves in the role or, like, doing something, like, you see the change as the filming is continuing on, where, like, if you watch a scene that was filmed 6 months before the other scene, you see a change in that person because of the filming. And
this is
what I'm saying. The attention to detail, like, to me, like, going back and watching it, it's just so, like, it's incredible.
So, again, the narrative and, like you said, the attention to detail, I think, for me, were the high points of this game entirely.
Yeah.
And I think you made a good choice in choosing people we don't know.
Oh, yeah.
When you look back at
would have been distracting.
Telling lies is all,
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say they're not the Leo DiCaprios, but we know them. Like, we know those actors, you know? So.
And these people are good actors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was really impressed.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll talk more on spoilers, but to me, like, every step of the way through this, I was just like, this is fucking crazy.
But I like your point about people changing through the times and devoting themselves to a character. Yeah. Again, there's so much to talk about as far as to what's actually happening, but if you look at the true theme of just people selling their souls for their art, and I think it shows, you're right, as the project went on, I mean, everybody was pushing boundaries and everybody was getting, they were, you know.
The tension behind the scenes.
The line between who's who and who, you know, really are just blurs like crazy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even talk about what actually is happening. I know, right?
And but it blends on that level. I don't know if I forgot who I was watching was doing a thing, and they were talking about the highest level of acting being people who can, what's it called, do an impersonation and do an impersonation within an impersonation, which is like
somebody when you break it down, somebody else
while they're doing like an accent or something like that. And it really is like, that's mind blowing to think about. And, and it could be an everyday thing you see on fucking TikTok nowadays, you know?
Yeah.
But people who can master that are incredible. So to think cut and then another cut in the real world that we're not seeing, you know, like in some of these scenes,
it's very incredible.
Cool. So the amount of work and thought and meticulous intent that went into this is
oh for sure
again hands that's down. The high point for me I think.
I'm telling you I like this is, sounds corny as fuck and I'm not like this at all. I am not Cohen
big lump with knobs.
I am not like this, like I do not get like amazed and like wowed by things, but like I legitimately was like again it sounds so fucking stupid but I like talking about it, I got like chills. Like it's weird, but like I am so in
this special, man.
That I have net like
it's special. It's,
I really personally it in that's, like in like many different ways, and we'll talk more in spoilers. But like in multiple ways, this like stuck in my brain and like would not let me go.
That's
for
the thing.
Like,
that was the missing factor for me.
Oh my
it was
God,
the wow
dude.
Factor.
That's crazy.
See, I feel like I'm going to be thinking about it. 50 years from now, I'm still going to be like, oh man, that game made me feel so weird.
Crazy.
Not to mention my parents freaking walking. Like there was like, there's like 17.
There's a lot of nudity.
Yeah, there's 17. There's like 17. This is going to sell the game actually. So we can say it's like 17 sex scenes.
Yeah.
And literally every
counting,
time.
Huh?
Literally every time.
Mark one down.
Every time there was one, my mom or my dad or my sister walked in, like, what are you watching?
And yeah.
Like, no, it's a video game.
Always, right?
It's a it's a video game. No, it's a video game.
Yeah, put your parental settings on for sure if you get this on Game Pass.
It is
there
rough.
Is a lot of nudity, a lot of sex.
It's rough.
A lot of something
I'm approved,
I should say,
but I'm just like, oh my God.
There's a content warning page on the front, and I think it's really good because some of these like sexual experiences are like very uncomfortable. Like I should say, like if you have, you know, if you have trigger warnings for things like that, be careful. You know, read that beforehand.
Yeah.
But all right, let's jump into spoilers. I got a lot to say, and I want to talk spoilers. So we'll give you a few seconds here. We're 5 seconds. We'll be starting spoiler talk.
One. Oh no!
No, we're done. We're at 5 seconds. So, how about this? When was the first time you rewound and saw like the other one?
It took me like maybe 10-15 minutes.
Me too. Super early.
Yeah.
Super
within early. The game. Oh, really? It took me about an hour to realize that I could do it.
Super.
I forget what scene I was at. There was
one.
The
first.
Oh,
time.
I remember my scene. I'll
I had the
my
I had
scene.
The volume up and everything. So like the
it
literally the controller rumbled and the thing went up and I was like, what the fuck just happened? Because if I'm being honest, I was like not paying attention.
Yeah.
So I rewound and it went right into a thing. So I was like, oh.
For me, the
okay,
first time
so
I
that's
the first time I saw it was there was a scene where she's sitting at the bar and like her head starts to bleed.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then someone comes up
the
to her,
up scene.
And I saw like a shadow. I was like, huh, that's weird. But I thought it was just maybe a reflection on the computer. I was like, that's.
Yeah.
And then I forget when I saw it again, and that's when I said, that's weird. That wouldn't happen a second
and
time.
And you went back,
and then you go back and you click on it. You're like, wait a second, it's a completely different person. What's happening?
Dude, I am like still fucked up by this, like that whole other thing,
yeah.
Because. The first time I saw it, so there's two ways to get those scenes. One is just you rewind at the right time and boom, it flips to another scene with the other one taking her place, right?
Yeah.
The other way is to rewind at the correct speed So you like slow it down to the right speed, and then when it sinks into place, it boom cuts, and then it's a different scene.
Yeah.
So if
there's actually just if you just hold the D-pad left,
yeah, you can do it like that. Yeah.
That's how I discovered the first one.
I played it like a lockpicking minigame, like getting it to the right spot, and then boom. So the first one that I saw, I don't know if you guys have seen this one, but it's the last scene of Minsky, and it's Marissa's back with like the two masks.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm just watching it. And again,
that's a weird one to come across. Early.
Yeah. Yeah. And it colored my whole experience because I heard the thing, and felt the vibrate. It's like, that's weird. And I didn't rewind like right away for it, but I was like, oh, I want to click on, there was like a guy walking in like the back right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to see if I can click on his face because I haven't seen him before. And I start rewinding. And I just see the other one with the like two people. It's Durek's throat missing, and Goodman's like, you know, cut across his chest with a gunshot or whatever.
Yeah.
And you see it like fading in, and I was like, "What the?" I literally like had the chill. Like I was like, "What is going on here?" Like I was freaked out. So I was able to get it and lock it in, and I was like, "What is this?" And instantly, I was like, I got to go back to all these other scenes and start rewinding. And that whole experience, like that worked so well for me. Like I literally would feel that. And like, I don't know if I'm just like the type of person, like I can get like immersed in something or what.
Oh yeah. But it felt like this was really happening.
Yeah. Like, I legitimately, like I would feel that vibration and I would like get like freaked, like I gotta see it, but I'm scared. Like,
it's scared, right? Though that feeling is very scary. That's true, especially when she starts talking to you, and you're like, "Wait a second, like is she actually talking to me?" Like,
well, you see, like, and so the weird thing that sort of took me out of it after discovering a few of those was that the one with the black screen behind her. I guess she's just really doing a monologue at your face.
Yes, yeah.
I came across. I went back after discovering it, went back to a few scenes, and I got the same one three times.
Yes. So,
which means they definitely like opened it up so that you can somewhat discover funnel
the
you in.
The reason they do that, so
which, yeah, I get.
Each one of the, especially the monologues,
yeah,
each one of those, they pick and choose like a bunch of different scenes that they're tied into. Mm. The scenes that it just shows her in Marissa's place, Those ones are specific. That's just one.
Yeah.
That's like an automatic, like there's only one scene you can see that happening.
Yeah.
So do you want to talk like big story stuff or do you want to talk like specific experiences that bounce around?
However you guys
want to
do it.
Because for me, the big story stuff that I love is, so I think, and I don't know if this is a popular opinion or not based on this game, but the story of that she's called the other one or the one,
like
the one and the other
thing.
One.
Yeah.
So I know this whole story. I went down the fucking rabbit hole, like watched every little clip, like figured out what the actual story is. To me, that like A to B story is like cool, but it's not like the thing for me. The thing for me is all the like how women in Hollywood are like treated. That whole thing is fucking awesome in this game. Like it is so well done. That there was one scene in Two of Everything where you see them like shooting a rehearsal, and I where you jump into it, I couldn't tell like if it was like a scene or not. Like I didn't know if it was a rehearsal. I never like went to the beginning of the scene.
Okay.
Right when I jumped in, I let it play from there and then went back.
Oh, see, I always jumped right back to the beginning.
But when you get jumped in the middle and you let it play, they put you in that spot for a reason a lot of times.
Right.
And so like it put you in the spot where the guy in that Into of Everything is being like a total asshole and like, you know, like pushing her around and be like, you know why you're here, you know, like giving her a bunch of shit, like making her feel uncomfortable. He like pins her down. And I'm sitting there like, this is really, like, what is going on? Like, what is this story? So to me, looking at from the beginning of Ambrosio to where she ends up with Two of Everything, like, the overarching narrative of, like what they're talking about in the movies, like, what the movies are about versus, like, what she is about in her career and how she was treated by people and stuff, it's so fucking cool. like, so the thing for me, the one, right, is this person, it's like this being that like took her over.
Yeah.
The whole story.
Earlier, before any of them.
So the original thing was, it was like World War II, and the one took Marissa over.
Right.
She found her.
Oh, I never got that.
She like, there's one monologue where she tells you the story.
Okay.
And she found her like abandoned in like a farm shack or something.
Oh, yeah. Did she talk about a barn? Yeah. Oh, maybe I did get that one then.
So she took her over. A lot of this, like, you don't know right away if it's like metaphor or like, you know, poem or something. Right. But it's really her like telling the story.
Yeah.
So she takes her over and then gets her into acting and doesn't like kind of like experiences like what it's like,
right?
And that's when you see her make that switch of like, I'm feeling empowered to like, I want to do these sex scenes, I want to be pushing boundaries, I want to be doing this stuff. Because in the beginning of Ambrosio versus the end, like she, that there's one scene where she is, it's like one of the last scenes of Ambrosio where Ambrosio himself is like at the tree, like on a cliffside. And Marissa's there, like, doing this whole thing, like, giving a monologue because she's the devil in that movie and all that. She's giving the monologue, and then she, like, stops. She's like, it doesn't work with the dress. Like, this is bullshit. Like, you know. And John Durek is, like, he's not the director.
He's a DP on that one.
He's a DP. And he says, like, yeah, take it off. Like, you should be nude. And she takes it off. And the director's like, there's nothing scary about a nude woman, and you're watching it, and you're like, this is fucking terrifying now that she's naked to the devil. And she runs the scene back, and it's so much scarier, but she has, like, the way that she, like, grabs him, like, she becomes different like that, and she's, like, wants to do it.
There was a...
It's so cool,
one
man.
Of the first Ambrosio scenes, maybe, like, the fifth scene I had watched was, like, it was in Ambrosio, it was the two of them under, like, a little outside-inside scene, and, like, when somebody comes over and, like, rips her shirt open and, like, exposes her, and I was like, whoa. I was like, this is what we're doing, huh?
Yeah.
And then the director comes on and obviously is, like, touchy-feely and shit like that, but, yeah, it is interesting to see her empowerment over the stories, but... What I kind of interpreted as, at the point I'm at right now, like what I'm interpreting as is the one is so enthralled by art and wants to be an artist, and that's it. You know, like she just like, it was about being an artist, and that's why she threw,
So
I mean, it wasn't the taking over that made her want to be an artist.
We're in spoilers here. We can talk about anything. Yeah. So the one took over Marissa.
Yes.
And there's this other person called the other one. Have you seen scenes with both of them?
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Who actually kind of looks like Goodman. You know, like he kind of looks just like him.
So the way that that all goes on, and if you're familiar with this, correct me if I'm getting anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But so the one is Marissa.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Goodman at a point. And they're like playing back and forth. And you see Goodman change once the takeover happens. And then... The one takes John Durek also.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's fucked up because you can see all these different things happen. Do you see the scene where she actually takes him out and like becomes him?
Which one? Was it the Durek one on the bed?
With the throat? Where she?
Oh, yeah, when she was the throat. Yeah.
Well, there's two of them. So there was one where he's laying on the ground. And it's like the immersion one.
That's in the 90s.
She like goes up to him as if she has the camera and turns his head. And there's another one where they do the sex scene, but then they decide to do it on the bed instead.
Yes.
And that is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Because that's the one where they're like talking to each other
yes.
in the real world. Yeah.
And so at that point, she takes him over too.
Yeah.
And basically after that, that's why Marissa disappears.
Yeah.
Because now...
For 20 years and comes back looking younger.
Now she's John Durek and has this like long career of directing. Mm. But the fucked up thing is... Did you see the one with Amy?
The one in the 90s?
No.
Which
one? So this was when Goodman...
The only one with Amy that I don't understand right now is there's... I got pulled out of a scene and it's Amy in a movie theater watching.
This is what
people.
I'm talking about.
Okay.
So did you see this one? Oh, this one's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's a scene where Goodman dies.
Okay.
Remember, she shoots him.
Yeah.
Kills Goodman. And...
It's a scene with the fake mustaches.
Yeah, hilarious. So she kills Goodman, And what you see in that scene is, if you rewind it the right way, you like get a close up of the eye, like his. Yeah. It goes to them first. It goes to the one and the other one enacting the scene, and then he's like, "You never killed me before this," or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she kills him, and he's like laying there dead. And it zooms in on his eyeball, and then you get it right. It's a different eye, and then a third eye, and then you get out, and it like zooms out from the screen, and it's a movie theater, and Amy is sitting there, and she starts talking, and she's like, I thought the only way to, you know, move on was, or get somebody new, is to, you know, like consume them or whatever. That's the, until she watched me die on screen.
Right.
Like, and then the voice changes and you hear his voice come out of her for like one line, and you realize they figured out a new way to jump into people, and it's to watch them die.
So she watched him.
Yeah. And that's why. So Shelby hasn't seen that part yet. No, we're gonna talk about it. But so the fucked up thing is, now he figured out, because basically when she killed him, she thought that was it.
That he was
like
dead,
he was done. But she showed, as John Derek started dating Amy, and showed Amy the footage of Minsky, and that's when the other one jumped out into Amy. And it's crazy because you can watch, I'm sure you've seen scenes of the table reads, where, because the biggest thing about Two of Everything is that the one is controlling Marissa and Derek at the same time. That's why she's getting all fucked up and bleeding from the head and all that. It's too much. And the thing that's crazy is, if you look at the table reads, and you rewind it, and it, have you seen it where it's just the one?
Yeah.
And she's doing everything for both of them. Yeah. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, she's There's a really good actor.
It's like Amy and then John and then Marissa. And then when you rewind it, and it becomes the one.
Yeah.
And nobody's in the
middle. And nobody's in the other.
And she's reading the stage direction and the lines.
And they say, like, oh, I'm going to get up and get a glass of water. And she's doing that while she's reading the lines and doing this.
Wild.
It's fucked up. But that person that plays the one,
she's amazing. Really
good
actor. Great. Yeah.
Really good actor.
So
the ending of what you were just talking about. So the way that this game ends is, you eventually get to a scene where you are seeing this mannequin of Marissa burned. Like, Amy pours gasoline, you know, Amy as the other one,
right,
is pouring gasoline on the mannequin, lights it on fire. It's this like crazy scene where like this pillar of flame comes out. It's like a whole thing. And then you rewind it and you see the one and the other one, and the other one's like, you have to do it this way. You have to burn me. That's the only way to kill us, whatever. And the way that it ends is, so you do all this, and that scene is fucking creepy as hell, because it like cuts,
that whole interlude is just,
it cuts between her like getting closer to the camera and saying different things and like getting really like in your face. Man, that's fucked up. That's a weird thing. And when you come out of that,
I'm getting goosebumps.
When you come out of that, it's the whole, all the screens, all the video clips start, you start like fading them out, and the one's face is like through it all. And then she, it cuts to a scene and she's explaining like,
I'm a part of you now.
I'm part of you now, doing the whole thing, because you just watched her die.
Gotcha.
Is the whole thing. And it's like I said, the A to B for the one and the other one is like a cool little horror thing.
Yeah.
Nothing amazing.
Yeah, I mean, when it first works
so well
with what they're telling,
as part of everything.
Yeah.
That's why this whole thing works. If it just showed you A to B, the one, the other one, it'd be like, yeah, that was a neat little thing, like nothing crazy. But when you intersplice it with everything that's going on, that's what makes it amazing.
I think it's very, very good. I was just not super enthralled with it. If it was me, I was totally in on the, hey, actually figured out what happened to Marcel, like a detective novel sort of thing like that. But the direction that it takes, like, again, I think the writing and the storytelling is great. You know, I think it's unbelievable how he was able to connect all those things. I'm still going to play it. I'm going to finish it. I don't care if I know what the end is anything like that. I mean, it's very cool. And
did any of you guys see the scene where you're the one And as you keep flipping back and forth, you see the different faces she's taken over in the years. Have you seen that?
No. I don't think I came across that one.
It was fucked up.
Have you seen every scene? Have you, like...
No, no. I have a lot of them, but I have not. I have not gone through and watched them all. But
is there a way to tell, like, what you're missing?
It's the... Not, like, what exactly you're missing without, like, doing outside
research. Oh, okay. I didn't know if, like, maybe once you finish it, empty ones pop up.
No.
No, all right.
But it will tell you, like, the percentage on the achievements.
Oh, all right.
So it'll say, like, oh, you've collected 73% of Ambrosio clips or something like that.
Something we didn't say before, too, mechanically wise, it's like you can break down the clips into date, movie.
You can organize them.
Favorites and all that stuff. Yeah. Or you can organize it by, like, what you've clicked on.
It's chronological movie or date that the scenes were shot. The one with the faces was so fucked up because... It freaked me out so much when I was doing it because you see her like crying at the camera and she's like, I don't even remember all their faces, you know, like talking about it. And then when you cut back and forth, it's different actors, like it's different people like crying and imitating her. And it's but it's like all these different people through the ages that, and the scenery behind her changes. Like it's the same like house or whatever. So you see like an older house with like old lantern and like all that kind of shit. And it's just crazy like that. They really, to me, the thing, the strength of it is the way that those scenes are shot are just so effective for me. Like they just work as like, good cinematography to up the tension, to get you feeling uncomfortable, whether they're looking directly at the camera or like if you ever watch a sex scene and then you flip it to the one and the other one, it's just the way they're moving and stuff. It is so disturbing.
I know. There's one in like Ambrosio where he's behind Marissa and then it turns into the one and you're like, oh, God.
But they do fucking weird stuff with that.
Her face is just like...
And she's just like, no, and it's like zooming in. What does she say? Like harder. Keep going or whatever it is.
And he's like crying. Like but that's the kind of shit just works so well for me where I'm just like, you figured out the creepiness on every level here where it's just so unsettling. But it, to me, like we mentioned before, a lot of the idea of, this is where I find it interesting, right? So the idea of, okay, to put a 18-year-old girl when she was in Ambrosio in these kind of situations is in and of itself like a little iffy, right?
Right.
So like, could you see the way they film it? And the director's giving her direction of like, not like that. You have to do it like this.
Right.
Or I think of a scene in Minsky where she's like provoking Carl a little bit. And she's like, or John will be filming a rehearsal and be like, how do you want her to touch you? Or something like that. Like that kind of stuff is throughout. And every time they just nail it so well. Like it really feels like you're like, oh God, like this is so fucked up.
Which is crazy too, because those movies shot a year apart, right? That was
2 years.
That was the 2 years, or that was the intention, right? 70. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it was a quick jump, and then like a 90-year jump or 20-year jump.
I just love those kind of scenes. Like you could dissect one of those scenes, like that one I'm talking about. It's literally John Durek with a camera, and they're on like the floor, and there's like a mirror behind them, and they're like straddling each other, and he's like an uncomfortable new actor. He's like, I don't know, whatever she's doing is pretty good, you know. He says something like that, and then she's like, well, I want you to do this and this and this. And he's like, okay.
Is that the one where he walks out and she like says, I'm gonna make him fall in love with me or something like that?
I think so. Or
along
one,
those lines. Yeah. Maybe there's a different
one. It's a different one, but it's a similar type of thing. But each one of those is just like they're always talking about what it is to put people in that position anyway. You know what I mean? Like outside of the art itself.
Right.
To put people in those positions, like this is real. These are people. You know what I mean? Like this is not like mannequins that you make do things. Like these are people, and they talk about that all the time. Yeah. Like there's one scene where it's in Ambrosio and it's like Marissa's first sex scene. So she's like, you know, a little awkward or something. And the director's like yelling at her like, well, don't go that way. Like turn a little bit towards the camera, do this. And then the other actress like goes in and was like, you should do something like this. And like jumps in and does a bunch of stuff.
And, with the straddling.
And the director like makes a comment of like, oh, this I should have casted you in this part or something like that. And it's just,
he says to her, I was, because she talks about being like sexually active, and he's like, oh, I'm turning you into a virgin and Marissa into a whore.
Into a whore, yeah. That kind of shit. No. It's so, so, so good. Like, they are, there is a way to do this that would have been so bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So bad. Like, but they know what they're doing. They did a good job. Like any good, like, film that I think of that has, like, that good nuance, like, this is right up there with it for me, where I'm just, like, so impressed by the moment-to-moment, like, how they're threading these needles.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, as individual pieces, I think you could pick them apart. But as a whole, it works so well.
Yeah, those layers, man.
Yeah, it's funny how you say, because my interpretation during Minsky, when she's doing all that, like being very sexually overactive towards him, was when I first saw it, I was like, okay. Well, and figuring out what the one's intentions of being like this over-the-top artist. I took Minsky as her way of doing method acting. Because in Minsky, she tries to seduce him. You know, like, that's what her character does. And then she's also trying to seduce him outside of that. So I was like, oh, this is her way of progressing as an actor. Yeah, you know?
That's exactly what it is. And you see the different styles throughout. I really, really love it. For me, personally, like, this is, I'm just going to say it out there, but to me, this came as close as a game could come to dethroning Elden Ring without actually doing it. Like, this is that so level. High up for me. Like, this is a game that I will remember fondly, like, forever. Like, I love it, love it, love it so much.
So we know Dan's one too.
Yeah, and that's like, and I'd be shocked if that changed. Yeah,
seriously, jeez.
But I don't know if you guys have anything specific to add. I know we talked a good amount about this game. I could certainly talk more, but I don't want to just monopolize it here. So
I'm definitely in the green on it.
Yeah.
But like I said, I still have, you know, I think overall as an experience, like you said, it's one that I'll remember, you know, 50 years from now. I'm looking at, you know, my favorite games. This one that'll always stick out. But I'm still just sort of, I'm still just sort of in this, like, I don't know if I can champion it, where it's like, oh, it's my, it could dethrone Elden Ring, but, you know, it's definitely up there. It's definitely a top five.
If the writing and cohesiveness of it wasn't so good, I think it would be like a 12 minutes for me.
Right.
You know, but it is. It's so well done in what it's going for. It's a good game. And it's on Game Pass.
It's a really good game.
It's on Game Pass. Just don't play when your parents are around.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Any like specifics that we want to call out before we wrap? Or are you feeling good?
Feeling pretty good.
All right.
I'm kind of scared to drive home. I think when actually, I was it is. It's that creepy where like now I'm gonna be thinking about it.
I'm still gonna finish it. We'll try and finish. I don't know if I'm gonna
back
get there.
In my car.
Might be just turned around in circles the whole time. But
yeah, the way that they. It doesn't always work, I'm sure. Like Dan was saying, it was a little frustrating. But the way it worked for me was, like, I just kept aiming for new stuff. And eventually, I just got to that mannequin scene. And then right after that, that all happened. And that was the end.
Yeah, I didn't know that it was going to be the end. It all just kind of like you said, the screen just started, like, the screen started turning black and white. And then her face showed up. And I was like,
I think, I don't know this for sure. But I do know that the two scenes I'm going to mention are specifically, they must be done to get that final scene, and it's the one with Marissa bleeding from the head and two of everything at the bar.
I don't like that.
And
I saw her bleeding from the nose in a scene. I don't know
that's
if I got
the pre.
Her.
There's one in the bar where it's just her there. And Amy, and they're like drinking at the bar, and she's just sitting there, and just blood starts like pouring out.
She passes out. That freaked me. That literally freaked me out. I had a hard time sleeping after that one.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit like that, but that scene and the one of the mannequin burning. I know you need both of those to get credits. I don't know if those are the only two, or if you need like 10, and those are two of the 10.
Okay.
But that's how it works. Really, is just once you hit the right amount, then boom,
then you get one.
It'll show it.
Cool.
Jeez.
All right.
It's incredible. It really is. I don't know what else to say.
I guess that's it then.
I'm free. It freaked me out, and it's sticking with me. Anyway, on that note, gentlemen, thank you so much for having us, for being here.
We got to name our game of the month.
Yeah, you joik.
Oh, everybody, what's our game of the month?
Our August game of the month.
I think we have
Does anyone want to... Shelby likes Cult of the Lamb
a lot. I'm totally on Tinykin.
I mean, obviously for me, it's Immortality, but I don't know. If you guys are not as high on it and you want to go for Cult of the Lamb or something.
That's... It's up to you, Shub. I would still go with Immortality, even with my gripes.
Totally on Immortality, because you haven't played Cult of the Lamb.
I haven't.
And I'm reaching that point where I'm... Mm-hmm. You know, like, I'm still going to play both these games, but I'm reaching that point where it's just like, oh, like I've got everything I need with Cult of the Lamb as far as, you know, I'm fine with Immortality being the game.
I feel like Immortality even...
Or do we just throw a two-point campus wild card?
Right, yeah, right. I feel like...
If we were going to throw a wild card, it'd be Tiny Campus.
I feel like with Immortality, even for all the gripes that, you know, we have with it, it's still like such a...
I got no gripes.
A landmark. It's like such a landmark of a thing.
Gripes of Wrath.
No, I think it's Immortality. I mean, I'll bold it here.
The game shall be immortal. Mm. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you for having me. Thank you for being here and talking video games. Thank you, listeners at home, for listening to us. Until next time, be excellent to each other. Peace.
Hey everyone, thanks so much for watching and or listening. Just here to remind you that you can find us by searching for Circle Back Podcast or Circle Back Gaming on any of these podcast services. Anchor, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, or Stitcher. By God, I'm out of breath because of all these podcast services, but you can find us anywhere there. Also, you can find us, our video version, on YouTube by searching Circle Back Podcast or Circle Back Gaming and the rest of the videos we do. Thanks, guys.